This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Friday, December 8, 2017, the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
With God, nothing will be impossible. May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Generally, and it is a good thing, we hit the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we should talk about the nuances and the theology behind the whole thing. But as good as that is to do, we have to understand that there is a bottom line with everything, even everything in our faith, but particularly with the Immaculate Conception. It is one of the mysteries of our faith. It's a mystery of our faith, and it's really kind of interesting to see how some people will appreciate some mysteries, but not others. I have a lot of friends who are not Catholics, and they will go to the hills to die on things like God parting the Red Sea. They will go on a hill to die about our Lord Jesus Christ speaking and a man who was dead for 4 days and starting to decompose in the tomb comes out when our Lord Jesus Christ looks and says, Lazarus, come forth. They don't have any problem believing that at all. None of those things. We Catholics, a lot of us, you have to believe this, but a lot of people, the Eucharist, you know, we appreciate it, but we don't think too much about it. Bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't have any problem with the Trinity. But when you start talking about the Immaculate Conception, everybody gets all hung up on that one. You get hung up on the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mother. Why? Did we just not hear in the Gospel that with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Why do we try to limit him? Why do we try to put impossibility like, oh, Immaculate Conception, you know, how? All those other things I just mentioned, we don't have a problem with how on that. How come we have such a problem with the Immaculate Conception? Not we, collectively. Why is that such a difficulty if with God nothing is impossible? And as I said before, there are theological reasons to embrace and grasp. We'll get into those in a second. Why? Not the why so much, but who? God. God with whom nothing is impossible. That's what we have to appreciate. Everything that the Catholic Church teaches and believes about the Blessed Virgin Mary is a consequence of what she teaches and believes about God Almighty himself. And because he says so. Yeah, that's why we should believe the Eucharist. It looks like bread and wine, but it's not. Why? I can get all kind of Thomistic philosophy, all kind of theological nuances about it, but it should just suffice us to say because Jesus Christ said so. This is my body. This is my blood. This whole idea of the Immaculate Conception is necessary for our salvation. A lot of people approach this like, oh, you know, it's just a Marian thing that Catholics believe. I have heard priests respond like that when questioned. What about this Immaculate Conception thing? Oh, it's just something Catholics believe. Those are the exact words I heard a priest say in a meeting with a bunch of people who didn't believe it. It was a prime time for him to expound on why we believe in the Immaculate Conception, and he dropped the ball bad. We need to appreciate the Immaculate Conception because it is necessary for our salvation. How so? Well, the last time I looked, we go to heaven because our Lord Jesus Christ made the perfect sacrifice for us. And it was a perfect sacrifice because we teach that he was absolutely sinless. There was no spot of sin within him at all. We cannot teach that if the Immaculate Conception did not take place. We cannot teach it. We can't teach it because all the naysayers would be able to. He wasn't sinless. You said he takes his flesh from that virgin. If she was ever corrupted by any sin, whether it be original or actual, he, by consequence, could not be called absolutely sinless. The Immaculate Conception was necessary for a perfect Savior to come into the world. And this is where Catholics drop the ball. A lot of people think that just means Mary just like kind of poofed into the womb and was there. That is not what the dogma says. The dogma says at the first instant of her conception, by a singular privilege God granted her, she was kept free from original sin. At the instant of her conception. Why is that such a stretch for people? That a babe in the womb at the instant of conception was kept free from original sin. You know, I look at my own life. You know, for God to save me after being out of the church for over 20 years and then bring me where I am right now, I think that's a much harder sell than a babe in the womb being kept free from original sin. It's a whole lot harder. I know me. Get with me. We'll talk. All right? Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Why the Immaculate Conception? It can't be. It was necessary. Because Pius IX said no. Because Pius IX in his promulgation actually articulates this dogma is set forth in Scripture, in the venerable tradition and continuing consensus of the Church. Scripture. Where do you find the Immaculate Conception in Scripture? You know, when one of your friends points out one out, you go, Trinity! Where do you find Trinity in the Bible? For those of you who don't know, never kind of perused it, the word Trinity is not in there. But every Christian walking the face of the planet, Catholic or not, believes in the Trinity that's not in the Bible. It's something that we glean from the Bible, like the Immaculate Conception, because it is in the Bible, just like the Trinity. Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant, if the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, things that just prefigured our Lord, representations of God's glory, if that Ark had to be perfectly and meticulously crafted by artisans under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as we read in Scripture, if that had to be that perfect to hold stuff that represented God, how much more perfect would the true Ark of the true God that didn't carry a representation of him, but the one who the universe cannot contain, placed himself in her womb? That had to be absolutely perfect. It had to be immaculate. But the Old Testament prophets speak to this. Jeremiah in chapter 31, messianic prophecy, calling in the shadows of bringing the people of Israel back out of their exile that comes to fruition and us being called from the exile of sin. When Jeremiah talks about, he says, when this is going to happen, the Lord has created a new thing on earth. A woman encompasses a man. Now, simple birds and bees tell us that men and women join company and then there are children. What is this new thing where a woman encompasses a man? Ezekiel, the prophet, in his messianic prophecies about the garden, is a figure of where from where the Messiah is going to come. This garden is described as a door never opened, a garden enclosed, kept free from the corruption of the outside world. a shadow of the Immaculate Conception. And then we have our gospel today. The gospel that teaches us at the Annunciation, the Blessed Mother doesn't even get it. How can this be? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, you who are full of grace. For with God, nothing is impossible. Now we hear in Ephesians, the second reading today, that God has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of His will. We serve a supernatural God. We do not bow down to stone and wood and all this kind of stuff. We serve the living God who is transcendent, who calls us into a faith that is supernatural. That's this whole discussion of the Catholic life, that we shun the things of this world and start focusing on the things in the next, because this place is fleeting. Your condition, whether it be good or bad, is fleeting. You are fleeting. We have to appreciate this, that He has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of His will. One of those mysteries is the Immaculate Conception, that which is necessary for our salvation. Not just Scripture, the traditions of our church since the earliest days. All this stuff all came up in 1854. No, in 1854 is when the Pope actually promulgated the dogma and said, no, this is what Scripture teaches and our church has always believed. Period. No discussion. That's what was done in 1854. The church has always believed it. St. Jerome in the 4th century, I quote, speaking of the Blessed Virgin Mary, she is unstained since she is in no way corrupted. St. Germain in the 5th century, he says, why do we have such a problem with this Immaculate Conception? Because, I quote, a virgin who brought forth a son, a mother who knew no man. If we don't have a problem with those things, why do we have a problem with her Immaculate Conception? It's kind of interesting, as even some Protestants, actually, I don't even know if they do it self-consciously, subconsciously going on with Mr. Cranmer, who wrote the Book of Common Prayer. In the first collect for Christmas Day, it said that our Lord is born of a pure virgin. Why not just born of a virgin? That's miraculous enough, right? You know, and Protestants only like that stuff you read in the Bible, okay, that they can chapter and verse you. Why would in a Protestant prayer book it say that she was born of a pure virgin? Like I said, virgin's not enough. So there's something going on there where he understands that it's more than just virginity. She is a pure virgin, and pure is a synonym for immaculate. Perfectly clean. So even they teach it. Again, I think if you pointed out to a lot of them, they'd get all bent out of shape about it. But it's there in their prayer book. The traditions of the church teach the Immaculate Conception. Our Blessed Mother calls herself in Revelation, I am the Immaculate Conception. That's how she identifies herself. And if it's good enough for the Blessed Mother, it's good enough for me. Well, I don't believe in private revelations, not even the ones that the church rubber stamps. Well, how about the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Scripture? Our Blessed Mother prioritizes why we believe the Immaculate Conception, how we should prioritize. It's not about Mary. It's about Jesus Christ. Because she says, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. It doesn't leave a period there. Yes, all generations will call me blessed. And then she says, why? For he that is mighty hath done great things for me, and holy is his name. This mighty one who kept me free from original sin has done great things for me. That's why all generations will call me blessed. This is very practical for us. It's not just knowing about the Immaculate Conception and appreciating church teaching. This should be very practical in our lives. That line from the Scriptures, for with God nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. And I guarantee you, Very rarely can I get up here and say, I guarantee you that someday God is going to prove to you that you're not in control of things, how awesome you may be. Okay? He's going to teach you that you're not in control of everything. And when you get taught that lesson, all of a sudden you can do nothing about the situation. Whether it be the call from a doctor, the loss of your income, the loss of a loved one, unexpected or expected. I can't get through that. No, you may not be able to, but with Him, nothing is impossible. That's why we endeavor more and more to get closer to Him, to understand Him, to embrace, get our head around this thing, that with Him, nothing is impossible. Nothing. He can fix the situation. And you know what? He might not fix it the way you want Him to, but He will strengthen you to deal with it. Because without Him, nothing is impossible. We have to appreciate that. It is very practical in the way we live our Catholic lives. And where we start to foster this understanding with Him, that with God, nothing is impossible. When we start fostering that understanding through embracing His teachings, whether we get them or not, you're not going to get them. I'll tell you what, if you get how bread and wine turns into the body, blood, soul, and divinity, or if you get the Trinity, or if you get the Immaculate Conception, please come to my office and enlighten me. All right? He's God. We're not. We're creatures. He's the Creator. And we got to know that with Him, nothing is impossible. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.